We have people getting the phone app, but hopefully if you have an iPhone, get the phone app. We're coming out with the Droid version next, I believe, and then there's going to be another version, so it's all coming. We have about 3,500 people that have downloaded the app so far, but we have people get saved on the app. Last week, people get saved online. God is doing amazing things, so we want to encourage you in that. 3 weeks ago, we had our Pervasive Hope Pledge Day. I'm on my pledge card, I left it in the back. But if you haven't filled out a pledge, there are cards in the lobby, and we just continue to collect them. And once we collect them this week, we'll give you the total next week of what we have. But if you haven't given your pledge for Pervasive Hope, we got a card in the lobby. And in North County, they got the cards up there in the lobby as well. Before we get your Bibles out, can you get this little piece of paper out, this little white piece of paper? Everyone say white paper. Okay. I want you to just put this in, hold this in your hand as you hold the Bible up, because we're going to refer to this in the service, but I just want you to get that out, and let's see your Bibles. Amen? That was a good warm-up. One more time, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Turn to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Doesn't it seem like Easter was like a month ago? We did 9 services from Friday to Sunday night. And it was the last service, the 9th one, 7 o'clock. The altar call was all the way around this. It was the biggest one of the day. It was amazing. It was amazing. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the battles that we fight, the growth that comes from those battles. And I pray you teach us how to be free. In Jesus' name, amen. About 2,000 years ago, a Chinese general, Sun Tzu, wrote a book called The Art of War, and it is one of the most popular war strategic strategist books used in military colleges still. And the whole concept of the book was that war is about deception, and he breaks down all the different ways you deceive your enemy when you're in battle. And one of the deceptions that you want to attack or plan to attack and distract your enemy on the right at a secondary target so you can attack the main target. So you trick and deceive your enemy to prepare on the left when you know you're going to attack on the right. And so you can make him weak. The devil does exactly the same thing. The devil will distract you to think that this is what's wrong with you, or this is where you should be preparing or trying to make yourself better or even grow spiritually, when in fact you should be preparing over here. There are some times in our Christian walk, even in our Christian walk, when we're trying to be spiritually free or fight spiritual bondage, but we're actually praying for the wrong thing. Imagine if you spent years studying and praying to try to fix yourself or God fix you in one area, when in fact it's the wrong thing. It doesn't mean that it's not a good thing for God to address. It just isn't the right thing or the best thing. So today I want to talk about what spiritual bondage we are really in. Because whenever you think about spiritual bondage, you think about sometimes the wrong thing. Now, first let's talk about being free. People think of being free as I can do whatever I want, wherever I want, however I want. And I'm going to tell you, that will never, ever be true in your life. And I'm going to tell you something you may not even believe. It's not even true with God. In other words, God has imposed on himself limitations. What I mean by limitations, God cannot make a square circle because he has defined what a circle is. He cannot make a round square. God cannot lie. He cannot deny his own character. Now, he set those boundaries, but he even put those boundaries. He can't even do that. God can't lie. It's against his own nature to lie. And so we have to understand that being free doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want. That'll just never be true. Even when Adam and Eve were in the garden, before there was sin, they couldn't. God said there's certain things you can do and there's certain things you can't do. Okay? So when we talk about spiritual bondage and what you're enslaved to, when you're set free, we'll learn next week that you're just going to be a slave to something else. It's just going to be a slave to something better. But when you talk about spiritual bondage, we're going to look at this story in Matthew chapter 4 where Satan tries to tempt Jesus, and we're going to see that he's trying to tempt him by putting him in bondage to two things. And one is not bad deeds. As a matter of fact, when people think I'm in spiritual bondage, I'm in bondage to pornography, I'm in bondage to lies, I'm in bondage to stealing. And those are deeds. Everyone say deeds. Matter of fact, if you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, it talks about the deeds of the flesh. Fornication, adultery, outburst of wrath, anger, lying, jealousy, selfish ambition, vain conceit. These are deeds of the flesh. Everyone say deeds. But I want to propose to you that we're not in bondage to deeds. We're in bondage to desires, the motivations that cause you to do those deeds. People are sexually immoral because of something going on in the inside. People lie because of something going on the inside. People gossip because of something going on the inside. It's a desire. It's a passion. It's a motivation. And when you're in bondage in your heart, then your deeds will be put. Satan's more interested not in causing you to do wicked deeds. He wants you to have a wicked heart. Because if you have a wicked heart, you can change the different deeds you do. They're always going to be wicked. So he can poison your motivation and poison your desires. Your acts will be poisoned. Religion is, I'm going to do a couple of good deeds. My heart's going to be the same. I'm going to do a good couple of good deeds every other Sunday or every Sunday, and then God's going to be good with me because I did a couple of religious deeds, and then I'm going to go to heaven. But our heart's still wicked. We're just fooling ourselves. And the devil knows that, so he says, yeah, you did a good job, good job. You went to church, you held the Bible, good job. You're good. Now go do your thing. God says, no. I look at the heart. I don't look at the outward. Because even your wicked heart is telling you, hey, do a couple good deeds and God will approve you and everyone will think you're good. That's wickedness of itself. And so the devil wants us to be tricked to think that if I do good deeds, if I fight those deeds, I'm good when the heart is still wicked. If the heart is still wicked, everything you do will be wicked. So one, we have to understand that we're not in bondage to deeds, we're in bondage to motivation. The other thing is that the devil will deceive you to think that if you do these deeds, you will define who you are. We're going to see in the story, he's going to tell Jesus, if you are the Christ, prove it by doing these deeds. If you're cool, prove it by doing this. If you're rich, prove it by doing this. If you're smart, prove it by doing this. And he tells you if you do these deeds, you'll establish who you are. And so he puts you on this train of thinking, I'm just going to do all these things and establish who I am. When in fact, he's hiding from you that it's really your motivation. And a selfish motivation will not establish a self-identity. It will establish self-destruction. And so you're praying, Lord, I want to stop doing pornography. I want to stop doing pornography when your heart is wicked. And even if you stop watching pornography, then you go cheat on somebody. Lord, I want to stop stealing. Okay, you stop stealing, then you're going to go beat somebody up. Your heart is still wicked. And so we want to ask God and acknowledge what these deeds and motivations are and then surrender that to God. Oh, you surrender your heart to God. That's why when it says surrender your heart to God, it's not only your deeds, it's your motivations that cause you to do those deeds. And imagine if you can acknowledge that. So on this little white piece of paper, sometime before you leave tonight, I want you to be thinking about, Lord, I want to be free from X motivation. And we're going to talk about three of them today. I don't want to worry about what people think about me, because your worrying about what people think about you will cause you to do a bunch of stuff. Some of y'all dress the way you dress because of how you think people will think. Some of you don't confront people in love because you're worried about how they're going to react. Some of you don't give because you're so greedy that you think the more you have, the more important you are. It's coming from here. So let's read the story. Are y'all awake? Okay, because y'all all sitting there like this. Number one in your notes. I am motivated to be better than you. Better than in at blank than you. The feeling, the first feeling is better, and the next feeling is whatever you want to put there. Let's read. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There's a whole lot of sermons in every one of these verses, but isn't it interesting that that the Holy Spirit would guide Jesus to the devil? And Jesus would let the devil tempt him. Why? Because Jesus wanted to show the devil he ain't got nothing on him. And by the way, this is not the sermon, but as you read, everything Jesus does to resist the devil, what he does is something we can do. He could just smoke the devil by just going, be gone and kill them. But we can't do that. What he does is what we can do. He quotes scripture. That's the weapon. Well, let's keep reading, but that's not the sermon today. That's just a little nugget on the side. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread." In other words, Jesus, why don't you prove who you are by doing this? That's a deception. Jesus, prove who you are by doing this. Don't raise your hand. Everyone say, "Don't raise your hand." One more time for the people who didn't hear it. Say, "Don't raise your hand." One more time for the people. Always do the opposite of what you asked them to do. Don't raise your hand. But if you do, it's okay. How many of you have felt, if I do this, I'm going to become somebody, right? I'm gonna be important. Now, there is absolutely some value when you accomplish something. People look at you different. But it doesn't establish who you are to God. He says, Jesus, use your own power to feed yourself, because the Bible said he was hungry. Use your own power to satisfy your own desires and your own passion. This is all about you. You don't need God. Use your own power to accomplish what you want to accomplish. By the way, in 1 John, if you're taking notes, write down 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16, it says the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, three things, three motivations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, a lust of desire to have something that doesn't belong to you, by the way. That's what lust is. It's not only sexual. It's just a strong desire. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are not of the Father. They're desires. They're not deeds. That's what he's tempting Jesus in. He wants Jesus to establish a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes, and a pride of life by doing the deeds, because he knows if he can open the door. In Song of Solomon, how many of y'all heard the book Song of Solomon? Okay, how many of y'all are married? Okay, y'all like, supposed to be like, "Yeah, I'm married, that's right." How many of y'all are married? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all like, "Yeah, I did it. I did a wedding yesterday. It was outside, it was cold, it was woo." And after the wedding, the girl's like, she's so happy. That's the way it's supposed to be. Song of Solomon is a book of passion and love in marriage. It is absolutely an erotic book. Read it slow and you will not believe what you are reading. I'm talking about stuff. In the book, the woman, it's Solomon and his bride, but the woman says to these young girls, don't awaken love, erotic love, sexual love, until the right time, which is marriage. And what she's saying is you don't want to open up that motivation, that passion, until you can act on it. Because if you open up that door, that passion will rule your life. People are having sex because they opened up that passion, that door. And that, matter of fact, that's why when you date somebody, as soon as you have sex, the whole focus of the relationship goes on that. And it changed. Now you can't really get to know them for as good as you could if you didn't do that. That becomes the focus because the passion is so strong. And so what the devil wants you to do, number one, is he wants you to be, one of your motivations, I need to be better than him or her. I need to be the best. You don't need to be. You just need to do the best you can. It doesn't matter how it compares to somebody else. There's always going to be someone better than you. Girls, I know you got your thing, but there's always going to be someone prettier than you. It just is. Just is. And there's nothing you can do about it. I was in the park, my wife and I, kids walking in the park. My wife is beautiful to me. It was Seaport Village, and this young lady came to me. She was gorgeous. She was gorgeous. And she was talking to me, and I was just like this. My wife's standing right there. And she just had me wrapped around her finger. And so after I talked to her, I went over to my wife. My wife said, "Did I just lose you?" The girl was 5. I was sitting on the, and she was just, pat the mom. I was just like, she was like an angel. There was just nothing you could do about that. There's always going to be someone better. There's always going to be someone smarter. There's always going to be someone who has more. And that's okay. Someone else's success does not minimize yours. Someone else's value doesn't minimize. Matter of fact, we can't compliment other people because we think if we compliment them, it lessens us. That's just not true. If you're taking notes, write this down. Some people think, "I am what I accomplish." In other words, the more I accomplish, the more important I am, the more valuable I am, the more lovable I am, the better I am, and that is not true. How many of you do not have a baby? You've never had a baby, so therefore you will not know what I'm getting ready to describe. But when you have a baby, you will realize and learn for the first time in your life, well, let me say it this way, you will experience a higher, more noble, pure sense of love that you ever have in your life. Can I get amen from the people who have babies? I can describe it all day long. You will never get it until you hear wah, wah, wah. until your baby cries. Until your baby comes out, you will never experience it. And the reason I tell you that is that God loves you no matter what you do. He can't love you anymore. But the devil wants you to think, "I have to outdo people to be important or loved," and that is wrong. Now, because the devil has you thinking that, you will drive yourself into the ground. I went to a heart, I was having chest pains last year. I have chest pains, heart right here in this area. And so I went to the doctor, and he took all these tests. He said, "Nothing wrong with your heart." And then we sat down. And he said, "Tell me." At first, he asked me about my schedule because I work a lot. And he says, so he sat me down. He says, "Why do you work so much?" I said, "I love what I do. A lot of people help. I want to help a lot of people." And he went, "I don't believe it." I said, "What you mean you don't believe, Doc? You call me a liar?" He says, "What are you chasing?" "So what do you mean what I'm chasing?" I said, "You're a hot doctor, man. Get out of my head. You know, just stick to this. The brother had me up against the wall. And to make a long story short, he basically challenged me to think about why I am so driven. Now, there is nothing wrong with being competitive. There's nothing wrong with being driven. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious for the right things, for the right reason. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it is for the right reason, and it is God-inspired. But if it's to outdo somebody else, because you think to outdo somebody else is going to give you more value, that's where the devil has you in bondage. And so the first question I would ask you in your motivation is, why are you doing what you do? Are you preoccupied with somebody else and trying to outdo somebody else instead of just obeying God? Number two in your notes. I am motivated to be more affirmed by blank than you. In other words, some women need a man telling them they're pretty or affirming them in somehow. some guys need or whatever. We all need certain a boss, a rich person, a cool person, a black person, a Hispanic, whatever it is. We need a gang member, gang. We need someone to affirm me. And if you need people to affirm you, you probably won't do a whole lot to disappoint people. Some people don't confront people because they're so preoccupied with being affirmed by people. You know, God's not into man-pleasing. And God is going to challenge you to obey him, and in challenging you to obey him, you are going to have to do things that people won't like. That's just how it is. And there are times where there are going to be things that God will not, that you will not be able to do for God because of your own personal insecurity or this motivation to do the opposite. Let's look what it says in the Bible, verse 5. The devil took Jesus up to the holy temple and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God," everyone say, "If you are Son of God." Again, he challenged his identity. He's like egging him on. "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give charge of his angels over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Hey, go up on the temple, jump off. And when you fall down and land like Charmin, everyone's going to go, ooh. What's the devil egging you on to do to have man go, ooh? Sometimes we manipulate conversation so people will say something nice about us. You just led a good meeting at your job. And you know it went well. And then you go around asking everybody, how'd the meeting go? Someone just told you you had nice shoes on. And you go ahead, and you go up to somebody else, hey, what do you think of these shoes? Because we manipulate people so we can get affirmation. We do things to get affirmation. Because, write this down, I am what people say I am. You think that whatever people say about you is who you are. And so you want people to say good things about you. Or you want to say bad things about other people to pull those people down. Matter of fact, gossip pulls people down, and you can't pull anybody down unless you feel below them. And why you feel below them is beyond me. But I shouldn't say it's beyond me because we all felt it. But you have something in you that's causing you to feel below them. And then you attack them. And your gossip is not about them. It's about you. It's about you. Matter of fact, how many of us have issues? Okay. You know, I did this in the other service. And same thing happened. People just raise a hand real quick. Yeah, I got issues. Y'all North County people, we all got issues. And there's somebody in the crowd going, I ain't got issues. That's the person with the most issues. The person with the most issues. We all got issues. I need to have people say, you are not what people say about you. People say, well, you're fat. No, I'm just big boned. Just work it. Just work it. You're ugly. Well, I'm married and got 3 kids and a very happy family. I'm fine. And the thing about it, people will say one nice thing about you today, and tomorrow they'll say something bad about you. So which one is it? It's neither. We had a quarterback here, Doug Flutie. I don't know if you remember Doug Flutie. And I remember Doug Flutie had played a good game, and they were interviewing him, and he said something very insightful. He said, look, a pat on the back, which after that game, everybody was patting him on the back. He said, a pat on the back is 18 inches from a kick in the butt. He said, yeah, they love me today, they hate me tomorrow. That's how it is. But God loves you all the time and has nothing to do with what you do. Doesn't. Why is this important? Because if your motivation is to be affirmed by man, you are going to go around man-pleasing instead of God-pleasing. And so on here, can you imagine? Think about this. Can you imagine if you could deal with what anybody said about you? I'll say it a different way. If you didn't care, and I say not care lightly because you should care a little, you know, be concerned. Because if someone says, hey, you hurt me, you should care what that means. But it's not going to crush you. But imagine if what anybody said about you didn't crush you and you were able to withstand it and then walk with God. Imagine that. Imagine how much God could use you if you weren't worried about what people said. And I'll say it another way. Look at all the things you don't do because you're worried what people will say. Ooh, write that down. And
And
did someone say slow down? That's what my wife says to me all the time. Slow down. I guess I. And then I forget what I'm going to say. Imagine all that you can do for God if you even knew I am going to get criticized, but I'm going to do it anyway. Imagine all the good that you haven't done because you were worried about that and how you rationalize it in your head just to avoid being criticized. If this is making sense to you, raise your hand. Good. So here's the thing. Write it down. But you pray to God, God, take my heart. Change my heart, not my deeds. My deeds will happen. And I'm not saying don't pray for your deeds. Pray for your heart first. Take my heart. Fellas, I've been talking about praying for an hour a day. One of the things this whole hour I'm talking about, hour every single day, 7 days a week alone with God. Every single day. Well, I work all day. I work all day too. I work all day. Matter of fact, I'm trying not to work all day. You got to get up an hour early. You know, the Bible says Jesus got up long before the sunshine. The sun rose. Yep. Before the birds start chirping. If the birds are chirping, you woke up, you slept too long. You should be getting up and you're praying and then the birds wake up. Because the birds are just singing, trying to get a date or trying to get some food. You're trying to get to God. You got something more important to get up to. So my point is that when you get to God, you are telling God in prayer, Lord, an hour, shape my heart. Ooh, your life will change. Stop trying to spend 5 minutes a day asking God to take away your pornography addiction. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's got to come from here. Look at number three in your notes. I am motivated to possess more blank than you. In other words, I have to have more stuff. Look at verse 8. The devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Let me read again. The devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, by a show of hands here, and also if you're watching online or your iPhone, or if you're in North County, raise your hand if you've ever been to Vegas. Look at all. Yeah. I wonder what y'all left in Vegas. I did it this morning. People were like, can we admit that in church? I don't know if I go to Vegas. My wife and I love to go to Vegas. We love to go see the shows and hang out and get away. And we went and saw the Michael Jackson show. Don't go. Vegas has all the lights, the shimmy, shimmy Cocoa Pops. It's just like, you know, all the shows and all the big stars and all the stuff. But what it doesn't show you right off is the drama, the pain, the addiction, the destroyed lives, just the glory. The devil said, Jesus, I'm going to show you the kingdoms of the world and their glory, all the good stuff. And I'll give it to you if you worship me. He wants Jesus to want. Jesus already had it. He already owned it. In college basketball, there's a term called one and done. So when a kid comes out of high school, he plays 1 year of college basketball, and then he goes to the NBA. 1 year of college basketball, he's done. He goes to the NBA, one and done. And they come out of high school, 18, play 1 year of basketball, and they sign for millions. And they get all this money, all this fame, and they get all the resources to do whatever they want to do. And many times, not all the time, but many times, they are ruined. Now, money doesn't ruin people or poison people. It just gives them an opportunity to be what they already are. If someone gives you a lot of money and you're a jerk, you were always a jerk. You just didn't have the opportunity to do it as much as you do when you have the money. Money is not the poison. It's the love of the money. And when you get all that and you get a taste of this new life, your motivation changes. Your passions and your desires change because now it's all about me. Now my greed is just heightened. He said, Jesus, I'm going to give you all the stuff. He wanted Jesus to want it. Look at all the stuff I can give you. And the devil will promise you stuff. Ladies, now I'm going to be careful with this. Kinda? No, I won't. How many of you ladies love to have shoes? Yeah. I don't get what it is about shoes and women. Fellas, does any fellas know what I'm talking about? What is it? I mean, it's like you buy shoes. You don't need shoes. You got like 40 pair, and there's a nice pair. I need to have that one too. And then because I bought those shoes, now I got to buy an outfit to go with them. I don't get that. These shoes I have on right now, my wife don't like these shoes because they're all toe up and discolored and faded and I guess dirty too. They are so comfortable. Look at them. It's so comfortable. You can't really see them that good. Can you see them? Wah! I bought these shoes like 10 years ago. And not only are they 10 years old, but they were used. Fellas, can I get an amen? I bought these shoes at the rack, at the little, you know, the rack where they had the secondhand thing. That's where they got these things. I think they was used. I don't know. They were just jacked up. I put them on. I was like, I want them. My wife's like, hey, they feel good. I make excuses. I'm going to put something on just so I can wear these shoes. Write this down. I am what I am given. I am what I am given, or I am what I have or possess. It's all the same thing. And here it is. The more I have, the more valuable I am. The more I'm given or the more I acquire, the more important I am. That is not true. That's a lie. God loves you this much no matter what you have. He loved Adam and Eve. They were naked. They had nothing. It's all about what's in your heart. God needs to change your heart. By the way, if your mentality is the more I have, the more important I am, you will probably have a hard time giving. Because if you give, you have less. Therefore, you are less. And so you hold on to everything you have because what you have identifies who you are. That is a lie from the devil. And the devil doesn't want you to know that's your motivation. He wants to hide that from you. He just wants you to keep doing what that desire makes you do. He wants you to keep being greedy. And then someone says, stop being greedy, so you give a dollar, but their motivation is the same. And then you give a dollar and say, look what good deed I did. And it justifies you keeping the motivation that you don't even know you have. And you stay in bondage your whole life. What is the solution? God, take my heart. Purify my heart. Just say that to him over and over. Lord, there are sins I don't know I don't have, that I have. I don't even know what to pray. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. You're praying to God, dear God, help me, help me, help me. And the Holy Spirit's saying, Lord, they got a lust problem. They got an insecure problem. They got a man-pleasing problem. They got a greed problem, and they don't even know it. But if you yield your heart to God, God will take care of that. But you got to yield your heart to God in the least by saying, God, I don't even know my sins. But can you just change my heart to be like your heart? Just say that to God. Every day, all day. God, just change my heart to be like yours. That's good enough. And guess what he'll do? He'll change your heart to be like his. And when he does, you'll start to wake up to what your motivations are. Listen to your words. When you speak, listen to how often you're pulling other people down or how often you're manipulating people to say good things about you. Look at how greedy you are. Look at how you compare yourself to others, what they do, and think about what you're thinking and acknowledge these three motivations, and believe me, there's more, but if you just stick with one of these three and you put it on this card, and by the way, when you leave here, there's going to be receptacles out there under the cross and at North County as well, where you put these in, and next week we're going to do something with these pieces of paper. But think about these motivations, because these motivations drive your behavior. You do what you do because of those motivations. You buy what you buy because of those motivations. You say what you say because of those motivations. You dress like you dress because of those motivations, if those motivations are running your life. Now, next week we're going to talk about other motivations, godly. But we're talking about bondage now. And the cool thing, we start. Let me end where we started. Sun Tzu, deception. Don't get focused on the deeds. Ask God to reveal to you what has been hidden. Ask God to reveal your heart. I was standing out in the lobby the other. It was a year or two ago. It's all the same, right? Time flies by. And the chapel from our school, we have Rock Academy School. The chapel had let out, it was junior high chapel. And all these kids were flooding through the lobby, and I was standing out there, and this kid just walks up to me. I don't recognize him. He just came to me, and kids are everywhere. He goes, "Pastor Miles, is masturbation wrong?" And I was like, I was kind of out of the blue question. So I went like, whoa, I kind of was taken back by it. And he looked at me like I didn't know what the word was. So he started to describe to me. He said, "This is why this." And he started telling me all these other ways that you describe it. It's like, you know, this and that. I said, "Brother, I know what it is." It's like it just wasn't ready for that at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, right in the lobby out here in church. So I said, "Brother," He says, "Well, I just want to know, is it wrong?" And he's dead serious. I said, "What are you thinking about when you do it?" I said, "It's here." And he went, "Oh, the motivation. Ask God to change your heart. Say, 'God, change my heart.' That's it. God, change my heart, convert my heart, purify my heart, however you want to say it. Take my heart, mold my heart, shape my heart, take out my heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh, however you want to say it. Change the root and the fruit will come. Don't try to trick people and God by doing these external things that look Christian when your heart is still wicked. Ask God to change my heart." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, and the worship team's going to come out here. We're going to sing a song, and in North County, we're going to pray for you, and then you guys are going to sing a song up there. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a heart surgeon. So we pray you cut us open, separate our ribs, take out our heart, and give us a new one filled with your motivation. Lord, I pray for everybody listening, that you would open the eyes of their heart, that they may see what motivates their behavior. And they would surrender that. They wouldn't let the devil deceive them into focusing on things they do, which also are wicked, but that they would focus on the root cause of the wicked deeds. And then even as we read the story about Jesus being tempted, knowing that the devil has a deeper, more cynical plan in what he's trying to get Jesus to do. And so we pray you change our heart. We pray you purify our heart. We pray that you do heart surgery. Lord, we don't pray for a clean valve. We don't pray for a bypass. We want a transplant. Give us a transplant. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister girl. Y'all like sister girl? Come on, girlfriend. And girlfriend, she is 6 weeks pregnant. How to have a baby. Amen.